The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for True Crime News. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Donnie Football Friday. Bob Pompiani on his way in. We're feeling good. The energy is high. Donnie, during the brief intermission there, told me a little story about his first Steeler game. When was it, Donnie?
It was January of 2003, so the 2002 season. It was the 2002 wild card game, which happened to come against the Cleveland Browns. In a game that the Browns in the second half led by 17 points. With about 2.5 minutes to go, they led by 13 points, and the Steelers managed to win the game 36-33 in regulation. And Chris Fuamatu Maafala touchdown run.
Yes, it was, to win the game. One of the most incredible games, in fact, that I've ever witnessed, Donnie. They were down, you're right, 24-7. And I have a little story about that game. In fact, I think it's time for story time with Grandpa Joe. Donnie, pull up a chair. Limits, come on up to the fireplace. Would you like a glass of cider or perhaps a cup of hot cocoa?
I'd love some hot cocoa, please.
Marshmallows?
Give me two.
Two. Here's my story, Donnie. Do I have everybody's attention? Story time with Grandpa Joe. First of all, I was in Cleveland that week and interviewed Dennis Northcutt. I identified him as a guy who could be an X factor in this game. And man, was he ever.
That was a good pick.
He made some plays for them, and then he dropped a pass at the end of the game. But here's the story I want to tell my little youngins here. Limits, I need your full attention. At the end of the game, the play to Fu, right, wins them the game.
Yep.
So afterward, I go and I talk to the offensive coordinator, Mike Mularkey. And he tells me how that all went down in the press box. I mean, that's unusual there. Fu was a decent player, but they had some really good players, yeah. And they were making a big comeback. And he told me that Dick Hoke, who was then the running backs coach, legend, right? Dick Hoke, kicked him on the shin before that play and said, this is what we should run here. It was... As I recall, out of a shotgun,
yes.
A handoff to Fu, or was it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. And he said, Dick Hoke kicked me in the shin and said, you got to run this play. So Mularkey gave credit to Dick Hoke for exactly that play.
And specifically said, we have to run it with Fu
instead of Zaraway or Bettis? I think Fu was in the game for a reason that I can't remember, whether he was supposed to be as a goal line guy, whether somebody was hurt, whatever it was. But yes, this is the play. This is the perfect play. Dick Hoke, ladies and gentlemen.
You know what's wild about Bettis in that game, too? One carry, negative 2 yards.
Yeah, something was wrong there.
Okay.
That's why Fu was in, as I recall. What a game. And again, it's a game I remember differently and more legendarily because it was played in a snow globe. You had snow falling like ticker tape. But let's all move to a dome. Why don't we, Donnie? I'm not going to go off on that again. I can't take that.
It really did have it all. Like, I could never go back and ask for a more impressionable game to be my first one. I mean, I was 7 years old.
Oh, I would have been hooked for life, too.
Yeah, I mean, you had snow, you had cold weather, it was a playoff game. Like, you know, not that I knew, I think, the stakes that were on the line. I mean, I knew that the playoffs were obviously important, and what they were playing for ultimately was big.
Yeah.
I still remember the, like, almost exact seats. The last row of section 217, so kind of like a corner end zone. A guy next to me who was probably my age now was there with his dad. The first time, that was also the first big rendition, and they played it twice, of Renegade.
Oh my God. That
and
I did not know.
The guy next to me was wearing a Joey Porter jersey. He took off the jersey, so he was shirtless. And this is a guy probably late 20s, early 30s, again, around my age that I am right now. And again, we did not leave early, which I know many people probably did, probably like that infamous Bills comeback in the wild card round from about a decade earlier than that. That was like my first lesson that my dad taught of, like, I told you this is why you never leave a game early.
Yes, you never leave a game early. That is a legendary game to go to, Donnie. And here's another little piece of that game. Kendrell Bell played on a bum ankle and was ridiculous in that game. Like, ridiculous. And I heard just the other night on your show, and you weren't there, Jeff Hathorn was with Alandon Roberts. And Alandon Roberts asked Jeff, who's the hardest hitting Steeler linebacker ever?
Ooh.
And of course, there's great answers to that. He might have said, did he say ever or recently? I can't remember. Of course, Jack Lambert's one, you know, Lavon Kirkland, James Harrison. I'm going to tell you who it is. And I wanted to text in to Jeff and Alandon, but I was driving on a highway at the time and thought that would have been risky, Donnie. I'll tell you who it was. Kendrell Bell. And I'll give you a quote. In fact, why don't you pull up again? Another cup of hot cocoa. It's story time with Grandpa Joe yet again.
More marshmallows,
yeah,
please.
Yeah, two in one segment. The legend of Kendrell Bell. I wrote this piece in January of 21. This is what Larry Foote said about Kendrell Bell. Larry Foote, a guy who's been around coaching now, been around a lot of football, Donnie. He said, I still talk about him to this day. And I always tell people, that is by far the most explosive football player I have ever seen. That's Larry Foote on Kendrell Bell.
It really is wild to me when I go back, and I mean, I do the nerdy thing and I watch back old games. Like, I've watched back this specific game we're talking about plenty since it was the first one, and it's easily accessible now on YouTube.
Yeah.
When I see the plays that Kendrell Bell made.
Oh my God.
And again, I was young. I can't believe the dude didn't work out. Like, I know
he injured his ankle.
Yeah, I know he won Defensive Rookie of the Year, and then
he was the first Steelers Defensive Rookie of the Year since Lambert, and then he had a bum ankle, and he never came back from it. I talked to him about it. He just couldn't do it. He couldn't do it anymore. They got rid of him. He went to Kansas City. Chris Hoke, go back and watch the film, bro. He said he'd put linemen on their backs, and Deshae Townsend agreed with Foote. The most explosive football player he's ever seen. He said his nickname was Contact. That's what they called him.
Did you also know about that game that Kelly Holcomb, who had a monstrous game, he had a couple of mistakes in there.
Yeah.
He was making his fourth career start. That game was his fourth career start. He went out there and threw for 429, three touchdowns and a pick.
It was unreal.
He was great. And I mean, the first half, he was as
Bruce
good as...
Bruce Arians was the coordinator.
Yeah, he was. And Foge Fazio was their DC.
And Foge Fazio never did forgive Butch Davis for calling off the dogs. Went into kind of a prevent late in that game, and Tommy Maddox ate him alive.
I do feel bad for Northcutt coming out of that game.
Yeah.
Because all people remember is the drop. The guy had two touchdown catches, and he had a huge punt return that set up a touchdown.
Horrifying. It's that fine line that Cowher talked about. All right, let's go to the phone lines, Donnie. Who's first? Limits.
All right, let's go to Joe in Katanning.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Enjoy the program. This one is special to me. I'm a big Steeler fan, also a Chicago Bear fan. And, you know, I can relate to T.J. Watt personally. Like, my brother played for the Bears for 13 years and never made a playoff game. And I can just about imagine what T.J. is going through, the suffering and stuff that they have to go through on the off seasons and everything. And it's very disgusting. And I just hope that the Steelers this year can turn this season into one that we can all remember.
Who was your brother, if you don't mind my asking?
Oh, absolutely not. Doug Buffon, number 55. He was drafted in 1966. He played along with Buckus, the three Bs, Ross Brubaker and him. They actually had the number one defense in the league for 2 years in a row. And then, you know, of course, the Bears management, all the promises and stuff, and Doug actually...
No, it was horrible. Of course I know Doug Buffon. My best friend growing up in Buffalo was Tom Cusimano. His favorite team was the Chicago Bears of Doug Buffon and Wally Chambers and Roland Harper and Walter Payton, but they never had a quarterback. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? They never had a quarterback. Their quarterback was Bob Avellini, for God's sakes. It was ridiculous.
You know, I think you probably know, realize that, you know, in the first year that when they drafted Bobby Douglas, they had a chance to get Bradshaw, and they passed on him.
Not a good move there, Donnie, was it?
No.
You have Bradshaw.
That's pretty cool, though.
Yeah, it is. You have Bradshaw on the table, and you take Bobby Douglas. Bad move them.
Yeah,
that was their very own Kenny Pickett back then.
I was going to say the Greg Oden, Kevin Durant.
Yeah, that's not good. Next.
Here is Dominic. He's in Vegas.
Hello, Dominic.
Hey, good morning. How we doing?
I can't speak for Donnie. Oh, he just spoke for himself. He's great, and so am I.
Good. Good. Yeah, I just wanted to talk about, I really do think this is the Steelers' window right now, and I really think the next four games here are going to give us a really clear picture of what they're going to do in the playoffs. I wanted to say, though, I really feel like this is their year. I think they can definitely beat the Chiefs. I think they can beat the Bills. Other than on the other side of the NFL, I mean, the Lions are the only most complete team other than the Steelers, in my opinion, this year.
So you don't
I think they really have all the pieces.
You don't have any fear even of the Bills in the AFC?
I do have fear of the Bills a little bit. I think that'd be their toughest challenge in the AFC, honestly, other than the Chiefs. But I think they match up pretty well with them. I think last year, too, they got a little taste of them. They weren't as prepared as last year to go in. But I think this year, I think Tomlin really has them prepared. I don't know if you guys have seen any of the HBO Hard Knocks. The way he pulled Pickens over after he got ripped down on that pick six and told him this won't define us, I think he has his team motivated. I think they're clicking on all cylinders, honestly.
Thank you, sir. Who do you think is the favorite right now in the AFC?
The Bills.
Yeah, over the Chiefs.
See, and I'm somebody who once... if are you asking what does Vegas actually think, or what
do
I think?
What do you think? Who's the team to beat?
I still think it is the Chiefs, if you're asking me that. I didn't know if you meant the actual Vegas odds, but
yeah.
Once we get to January, people can jump on the grave of the Chiefs all they want. You know, they can dance around because people started to do it last year, if you don't recall. We get to January, and until a team takes out Patrick Mahomes, I'm not going to – he's like Michael Myers.
Man, it's
he
all...
He ain't dead until you make sure of it.
It's all different in the playoffs. It is. It reminds me of hockey when, you know, suddenly when you're in a series, and I know it's one game in football, but when you're in a series, it's not like you're playing, you know, a team on a random back-to-back night in February when, for example, they get 10 seconds to scout your special teams and things like that. Once you get to January and January football, especially if the Chiefs have time off to prepare for week one, because usually they only, not last year, but usually they only have to win one game to get to the championship, the AFC championship. Then you got to deal with Andy Reid and Steve Spagnuolo sitting down and breaking you down like no other coaching duo can do, quite frankly, in the NFL. And then you got to deal with the big boy. You got to deal with Patrick Mahomes, probably on his home field, where even if you're beating him for a while, if you so much as dare to make that a one-possession game, there's a really good chance he's going to beat you in the end. So you're going to face an unbelievably well-prepared team with a great plan and an all-time great quarterback who's still in his prime on their home field. They are, to me, as long as they keep that number one seed, indisputably the team to beat.
Yeah, I mean, and not to mention with them that you mentioned the extra rest, and they're another team where, okay, you can call it luck all you want. and they're skating by a little bit, and you can make comparisons to maybe like the 2020 Steelers. But again, they do have the real difference maker once it gets to the postseason. There's a reason why there's only one active quarterback who has ever knocked Mahomes off the perch in January.
Wonder Twin, Chiefs the team to beat still?
They deserve the benefit of the doubt because they've won back-to-back Super Bowls, but I want to give it to Buffalo. I think Josh Allen is just playing at a superhuman level, better than anyone in football right now. Their defense, I have a little bit of concerns about, but with Allen going the way that he is, I just can't say that anyone's going to stop him unless it's the Detroit Lions and they're in the other conference.
Speaking of them, as we get ready for Ray Fittipaldo at the top of the hour and Bob Pompeiani on his way in here for a Donnie Football Friday, 50-minute mark brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. And you can listen to this show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. What did you make of Dan Campbell, Mr. Kneecap himself, going for it from his own 30 with a lead in the game and getting stopped in Green Bay scoring a touchdown, and then going for it when he had seemingly had the game in hand at the end, a chip shot field goal. He goes for it on 4th and 1, risking overtime or risking the Packers going down the field and winning it right then. And instead, they go for it, they get the first down, and they win the game. What did you make of this guy?
That dude's got some marbles, and you may want to use another term with him, but I love Dan Campbell. I think that he will eventually knock Mike Tomlin off that perch. You know, every year the players do a poll of like who they most want to play for. I think Dan Campbell is quickly ascending to the top there because that dude just seems like an epic coach all the way around, and he deserves a ton of credit because early on it looked like same old Lions. People laughed at the quotes, and now we ain't laughing so much because the Lions look like the best team in football.
Yeah.
But the one thing I'll say is that sometimes, and I know it worked for them last night, but sometimes you're going to be in those situations where you should just kick the field goal.
I know
that it worked last night, but
yeah,
you think back to the NFC Championship game
right
last year, and it could very well end up losing them a big game.
I respect Dan Campbell for literally never veering from. I'm expecting the guy to go for it, you know, 4th and 15 from his own
five. It's like playing a kid in Madden.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
Oh man, I don't know if he's going to actually punt.
It's the NFC title game, first quarter. They're 4th and 20 from their own one. He's going to go for it. He does it. That's what he does. I do give him credit for that. But I agree with you 100%. There's times where you got to dial it back. And I don't know that last night was one. I compared both those situations to Mike Tomlin trying an onside kick when he was ahead late in the game. I still believe, unless someone can prove me differently, this was Ben against Aaron Rodgers a long time ago. The game where Mike Wallace had the walk-off TD. Neither team could stop each other.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Mike Tomlin is the only coach in the history of the league to attempt an onside kick with a lead in the last 8 minutes of a game. I really do. And he defended it later by essentially saying we couldn't stop him. And I figured even if they get the onside kick, which they did, Rodgers would score and we would go down and have a chance at least at the end. And that's exactly what happened. It was crazy, but I defended it then and I still do. That's what this was. It was Campbell saying, we have no defense right now.
Mm-hmm.
We have 8 guys injured. We can't stop them. So we got to win the game now. I respect that. But to your point, last year in the NFC title game, it's funny you said that because I just looked it up when this topic came up. He was 4th and 2 at the Niners 28, midway through the third quarter with a 24-10 lead. Take the field goal. Take the field goal. And then later.
Plus there, like in that instance, you're going to go up 3 scores. It's no longer just a 2-score game.
Exactly. Just take the field goal.
Yeah.